Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been good to be here this morning already. Thank you for your thoughts there, Brother Aaron and Enos. We can definitely be busy doing good things and missing out on the best. And I'm not sure that I haven't figured out. Seems there's so much to do. But at some point we need to be sitting at the feet of Christ and let Him teach us. Thank you for that. Also, obedience. Delayed obedience is not obedience. I think of that and wondering what all is it that God wants me to be doing, and am I getting it done? So thank you. If we could, let's rise to our feet and we'll have a word of prayer. Sorry. Our Father, this morning we do thank you for the words of truth that we've already heard. Thank you, Lord, for the hymns that we were able to lift our voices and worship you through them, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, this morning for the being able to gather here with your saints. We're thankful, Father, this morning that you are here with us and that you, that your Spirit is here directing and guiding and leading us, and we want you to continue to do that, Lord. I do think of the thoughts that I have and the burden that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that you'd help me to be able to share it, Lord, in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. Lord, we know that in my own thoughts it's incomplete. There's things that are lacking. And so we ask, Father, for your Spirit to come and do what you want to do in all of our hearts together. We pray, Father, that your will would be done here today. We pray for your word, Lord, to come forth in clarity and just have your way here in our midst, Father. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So yeah, the Lord has, last several times that I shared, I shared on different areas or different aspects of how God wants to transform us or change us to bring glory to Him, or to not sure the words to use, but that we would reflect His life, that our life would reflect His life. And I have another one of them this morning. And a couple questions that I had to ask is it our passion in life that my life looks like Christ's life? Is that a passion that I have? Is that a goal in my life that I'm truly wanting to get done in life? Is that my life would reflect Christ's life? How high is that on my priority list? I had to think of Acts 14 verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." There's something about this, these men, that their actions or their something, it was that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And how is it with you and I? Also, I had to think of Moses when he came off the mountain after he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. He had to put a veil over his head because his face shone in such a way that the people couldn't look on his face because he had met with God. And we know that God is not a respecter of persons. God would do it again if we would give our hearts and lives in the same way that they did. So is it a passion that we have, that our life, that the world sees Christ in us? Is that a passion that we have? Like I said this morning, we'd like to take another look at of a different area where I believe that God wants to continue to transform us. And if you would, you can turn to Romans 12 and we'll read the first three verses. I think it was in Acts, it tells us at one place that they were called Christians. Was it in Athens first? And the word, if you look at the word Christian, it simply means it was Christ-likeness. And we use this word so loosely today, Christian. It really, in America anyway, you know, if you wasn't living in Iraq, you probably wouldn't say just openly anywhere that I'm a Christian. Because it could mean something quite different than what it means to us. But Christ-likeness, is that our goal? Is that what we want in life? So Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the burden this morning is in verse 2, and it's also the title is, But Be Transformed by the Renewing of Your Mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is the burden on my heart this morning. There's a lot that goes on in our mind. There's a lot that our minds do, a lot of things. As we get born again, there's things that change in our mind. We look at life differently. But the fact is, it's not. We still think of things that we wish we wouldn't. There's still thoughts that come in that we wish would never come in, right? It's not something that just because we're born again, now we've accomplished it. This is something that is a lifelong thing that God wants to work on. He wants to transform it. But he puts part of his mind in us, but not his complete mind. You know, our minds, it can wander. It wanders here and it wanders there, and we're thinking of this, we're thinking of that. But God's mind is not that way. God's mind is, his mind is not everywhere. His mind is, yeah. Our minds, we have to make choices. God does not have to make choices. He knows. So we are to train our minds. We have to take our thoughts and sort through them. Some we build on, and others we have to throw away, don't we? So for the first point this morning, let's turn to, we'll be back in Romans here after a bit, but let's turn to, for some groundwork, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10. And we'll read the first five verses there. Just to help us to see that our minds, that this is not something that, you know, when we get born again, I think those of us that are born again, we know that our minds are not completely transformed. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen, but it has to continue to grow. We'll go through more of this as we go on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. It says, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing captivity and every thought to the and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he's writing this to Christians. He's writing this to the church at Corinth. He's actually calling it a weapon of our warfare, that we take our thoughts captive, that we casting down imaginations and everything, every high thing that exalteth itself against God. They have no place. They should have no place in our mind. And we realize that at times, if it wouldn't happen, there would be no need to write about it, right? If there was no need, if it would never happen to Christians, Paul wouldn't have wrote it. So it does happen, and he's telling us what to do about it. So the first point is taking our thoughts captive. Taking our thoughts captive, which means you and I still have something to do. If all our thoughts were now transformed, the Bible wouldn't tell us to take our thoughts captive. We're in the flesh, as he writes here, and he said, but we don't war against the flesh, but we are in the flesh. So the Bible teaches us to take our thoughts captive. There are thoughts that come at times that we wonder, now where, how did that come about? Where does that thought come from? And I'm not here to say that I know how all of that takes place. We will always have that on this earth, but by the grace of God, it shouldn't be on the same things. In other words, if we're maturing, it shouldn't be the same. I'll use some carnal my early walk. You know, when I went into a gas station, I used to be a smoker, and cigarettes, I had to think, well, I'm not going to buy cigarettes as I walked in a gas station. I had to think that in my mind. Today I don't do that. It's not a temptation anymore. That is long gone. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if we're still fighting over the same thoughts as I did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we're probably not maturing as we should. So they change. Our thoughts change, but there are always going to be thoughts that have to be taken captive. We're not going to be godly enough ever, I don't believe, on this earth, that we never have to take our thoughts captive. It's something that we'll have to do the rest of our life. Another one, at a hotel room. You know, we always like to watch TV, and we didn't have them in our home. And that was one place you got to watch TV. I'm very thankful today that I'm not tempted to turn on the TV. It's just not, it's full of garbage. Why would I want to turn it on? I'm thankful that today I'm not tempted. And that's what I'm saying. As we grow in our walk with the Lord, our temptations or our thoughts should continue. They shouldn't be them thoughts. If we're still dealing with a TV after 20 years, I think we got problems. I don't take that lightly. You know, it's by the grace of God that He helped us. He helped me through that. He helped me way beyond that. It starts in the mind. What am I thinking? If I think fleshly, that will also be my actions. Proverbs 23 verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's the first part of the verse. And it's talking about riches. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's written in the context of desiring riches, but I think it applies in about every area of life. If there's thoughts that come to mind about a brother, if the thought isn't right, it's a degrading thought or putting myself above him, what should I do with such a thought? We all know what we should do, right? It's cast it away. Get rid of it. Don't meditate on them things. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's not going to produce the fruit of righteousness. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because we think in our hearts, so will we be in life. If we're honest with ourselves and take our thoughts from last week and put it in categories, what would it look like? You know, if we would categorize our thoughts up here this morning, what would it look like if we was honest with ourselves and I would write down all my thoughts of last week? Not talking about those that come in that you throw away, but those that you actually took and meditated upon. How would that be? Would it be thinking about God, everything that He did for me? Is it thinking positive or negative about church, about brothers, about just what would it be like? In your mind, when you think of your brothers and sisters in the church, what goes through our mind? Did you think positive or negative? Did you build them up? Did you build them up or tear them down in your mind? How do you think? Are you better than your church family? You know, these are serious questions. We're talking about being transformed. God doesn't want us to continue to think them thoughts. God wants to take our mind and transform it. He wants it to be transformed into His image. That's not how Christ thought when He was on earth. In verse 2, He had told us in Romans to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And He doesn't give us the third option. It's either we're being conformed to this world, or we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, more to the glorious image of Christ. So we don't have three options. Our thoughts are either being conformed or transformed. How important is it to me that my thoughts line up with the thoughts of Christ? We don't have to be around someone very long to figure out what he's thinking about, right? What do we talk about? Sports? You know, if it's sports, that's what comes out of me. Trucks? If I think about trucks a lot, I'll be talking about trucks. Fast cars? That'll be what I talk about. If that's what I'm thinking about, that's what will come out of my life. Eventually, you know, hunting, fishing, money, romance, clothing, eating, we can make a whole long list. We can soon tell what a person is thinking about, what he talks about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The music that he listened to, there's something that happens to our mind as we listen to music. And I have to think again, if Jesus was here this morning and he could somehow put a screen up here of all our thoughts of this last week, how would that look? Would we want him to do that? Are our minds being transformed? Or are they being conformed? What does it look like? And again, I'm not talking about the thoughts. There's those thoughts that come that I don't know where they come from. But if we take a hold of them and we get rid of them, that's not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that we actually take and we meditate on. We build on them. We rationalize them in our mind. God wants us to be transformed. He wants us to get rid of those thoughts, the bad ones, and build on the good ones. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We should be working on our thoughts in this way, that they would look like the thoughts that Christ would think. He knows what I think. He knows that the actions will follow my thoughts. Maybe not right away, but they do. And this is very important, but we should take all of our thoughts captive. The fact is, our thoughts feed us, good or bad. What are we feeding on? What is it that we're thinking? You know, if I'm always thinking negative, you think of a person that is suicidal. What is he thinking about? He's constantly thinking negative about himself. That's not what God wants. Now, we are a lost condition as humanity without Christ. There's nothing good within us outside of Christ. But if that is what a person always thinks about, a lot of times it turns suicidal. And so we feed on our thoughts. Our thoughts, they shape us. So the second point this morning is using that verse in Proverbs. Our thoughts become our actions. Or then what I take in affects my thoughts. And I have to think of prisons, prison cells. You know, prisons are full of people that never in their minds thought they would end up there. Am I right? I mean, some of us have been to prison, but as a whole, to witness, as a whole, people don't want to be in that place. They never thought in their mind that they would end up there. But it starts in their thought life, and then eventually it works out in real life. a few end up there. Thinking of video games, I think this is a big one. Don't think that they don't affect you, because they do. They do affect. Men play these shooting games, and they think it's no harm. But you know, as they play these shooting games, what is happening in their heart? Their integrity gets lower and lower and lower. And that's where many of them end up in prison. They can do it on here, and there's nothing. Many murderers sit in prison cells had they never watched it on TV, played it on their video games, or read them as fun books. Many of them would never end up in a prison cell. And it starts with our mind. It starts on our thinking, and it ends up in action. You know, video games, and these things have a way of affecting us that we don't realize. What you feed on is what you will become. Our minds need to be transformed. There's many sitting in prisons today on sexual misconduct of many kinds. Had they taken all them thoughts captive, not fed on them, would probably not be in prison today. I believe that to be true. And it can start with romance novels. Don't think that them things are nothing, because actions have proven that they do have something. Abusing self or holding images in our mind, these things will take us down. As we think in our heart is what we become. God says this in His Word. We may not doubt it. Our minds are powerful things. It has a way of moving us in a direction that we never thought we would go. We all need to take our minds captive. Thinking of you young people especially, us older ones have to do it, but don't wait till you're older in life to start taking your minds, your thoughts captive. Do it as a young person. Start young. If you can take that, your thoughts captive, it will take you in a place where, godliness will follow you if you can take your thoughts captive and throw them wicked thoughts away. Our minds are powerful things. It has a way of moving us in a direction that we never thought it would. I know I said that prison cells are full of people who never thought they would end up there. And what I mean by that is, they know that a murderer normally ends up in prison. They know that a thief, somehow it has a way of finding its way. Somehow they know that, and yet somehow we think we're bigger than everybody else that has got caught. They don't think that they'll ever end up in prison. I shouldn't say they never think that way, but as a whole, that is the thing that happens in prison. They were thinking thoughts that led them there. So let's imagine a murder in prison. Let's just imagine here that he would have never played a video game, he would have never seen this on TV, or he would have never read this in books. And as a young boy, being taught from young up that it's evil, that it's wrong, that it's, that sin will end up in hell. What chance, and I know that there's plain people that end up there, I know that. Bitterness has a way of taking a person in a way that it should, it takes us places where we don't want to. But what chance do you think that the young man there would have versus the one that's over here that can play all the video games he wants, can watch whatever he wants on TV, has free access to any kind of books, and mom and dad are not there to teach him? What chance do you think these two, what is the difference in these two of ending up in prison? It's huge, isn't it? So our minds have what we feed our minds, what we think in our minds has a tremendously impacts us in life. Tremendously. And God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He doesn't want us to continue to be this person. Now we can't always help our past. We can't always help everything that happened. But we can help ourselves by moving forward in a positive direction. So God gives us something to do to renew our minds. This is not just something that God does for us, but He's asking us to do it. Music. Music is something that we underestimate the power of it. We underestimate the power of music. And it's something that, as we listen to music, it has a way of changing us. Good or bad. Not everything that I'm saying here has to be negative. It can be positive too. And we'll hopefully get to more of the positive toward the end here. Don't listen to anything that's not approved by your parents, please, young people. I say that anything coming from the radio is not fit to listen to. And I'm not saying there's no truth on it, on the radio, but they don't tell you the whole truth. If you're listening to even Christian radio station, they don't tell you the whole truth. Listen to some quotes. These are, I have some here from Christians, but I also have some here from just quotes from different people in the world. Music is the best and cheapest mind-altering drug in the world. Did you get that? Someone has said music is the best and cheapest mind-altering drug in the world. Music gives a soul To the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. It's like nothing matters. Music doesn't lie. If there is something to be changed in the world, then it can be changed through music. These are quotes. Here's a positive quote. The devil, the originator of sorrowful anxieties and restless troubles, flees before the sound of godly music almost so much as before the word of God. So we see that music has a powerful effect on the positive as well as on the negative. Listen to this one. Tell me what you listen to, and I'll tell you who you are. Tell me what you listen to, and I'll tell you who you are. Music can change the world because it changes people. So just like bad music has effects on people, so will good music have effects on people. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you can't listen to this bad music and not have an effect on it. Neither, if you take good music and you meditate upon it, it will also have an effect on you. It's not just all bad, it's also good. God wants to transform the mind to where it's only good. And that it would be thinking of Him, that it would reflect what Christ would be thinking. Let's go back to our original text in Romans. I'm sorry, I got this thing in my throat. So we wanted to establish first that we should take our thoughts captive, and also that as we think in our hearts, that's who we will be. Now let's look at Romans 12 again. Read the first verse there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the third point I have is a living sacrifice. You know, Paul starts out here by, I beseech you. In other words, it's an invitation, but it's also more than an invitation. In a sense, you know, no one can make us, no one can make us do live a godly life, but he's entreating us, he's begging us to do so. It's entreating us. And it's not just entreating us, but it goes on and says, by the mercies of God, God is a very, very merciful God. And it's by the mercies of God. You know, there's none of us that have lived our complete lives living our lives as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that comes with living our life for Christ. It costs something. It costs life. And it changed whatever it sacrificed. You know, I think of the Romans, as you think of the early church, as they read this, if they would have read this verse, the Roman church did. What do you think they thought of as they thought of a living sacrifice? You think in their minds they saw the blood-splattered altars? You think they saw a lamb or a oxen or whatever it was giving its life as its throat was cut and then it was burnt? I don't know what they pictured, but in my mind, that's probably what they pictured. It wasn't, when we think of a living sacrifice, I don't know that we can quite grasp what Paul had in mind here when he wrote this. A living sacrifice. Now, Paul, you mean, I'm thinking here of the Romans. Now, Paul, you mean that is what I need to become while I live? Dead while I live? A sacrifice? As Paul makes this plea, he also says it's by the mercies of God. God is a very merciful God. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. Yes, it is going to cost us something. It's going to be painful. But God is very merciful. He has our best in mind. It's not God's heart to see how much he can make us hurt. That is not his intent at all. His intent is, the last part of the verse, it says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then again in the last part of the second verse, it says, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so that is God's heart for us. It is not, he's a merciful God, but his heart is to bring us to that place, that our lives would reflect his life. God never forces any of us to do this, but is asking us to give our lives as a living sacrifice. He knows what is best for us. And I don't want to make too big a deal out of the music, but I think of music again. And I trust no one is caught in it, but I think of the music of my past. I know what I know what country music is about. I know what rock is about. And there's an endless, deep pit that goes with that whole thing. The songs of love, but people have no idea what love is about. It's about lust, not love. The alcohol and the partying and all the things that go with country music. Don't think that as you know people that listen to country music, what do they do? They start looking like the songs they listen to. They start acting and doing things of the same. This is big. It's big, I'm sorry. It's an empty, empty life. It's confusing, it's devilish. Please, don't never go there. And one of the reasons I say that is because somehow, after parents have left something, somehow children, I know of many children, many families that have ended up back where they started. Please don't go there. This stuff is garbage. It'll take you to hell. It's an endless pit. We don't want you to have all the regrets that we have. You know, and Paul's not saying about country music, but I think if he was here this morning, he would. So my heart for all of us is that we would experience true peace, that we would experience true joy, and that we would experience true fulfillment. And it's not in the things of this world, but it's here. It's in God's Word. That's where we find true peace. Let's ask the question this way. What are we doing that we wouldn't want to do if Christ, now I know he's our temple, and that we are his temple and that he wants to live in us. But what am I doing that I wouldn't want to do if Christ was right here in person? I shouldn't be doing it. I should not be doing it then. Thoughts Thinking of the words we speak, music we listen to, things we look up online, the books we read, the places I go or don't go, what I do with my phone, and you know, we can make the list long. Sorry. But what would we change? So that's my heart this morning is, if there's something that I wouldn't do if Christ was right here with me at my job, with me where I go, that I wouldn't do anything that would displease him. That I wouldn't do anything that I wouldn't do if he was right there. That is the heart. That we would live a holy, acceptable life, pleasing to God. What would we change? It is a reasonable service, it tells us. It is only a reasonable service that we live a life, that our life is a living sacrifice. As we look at Christ, why would it be a reasonable service? If we look at what God gave to us, His Son, and the price that it cost Him, you know, if you think of Him there, beaten. He was beaten. The Old Testament would tell us that He was beaten. His visage was so marred. I can't even get it right now, but He wouldn't be hardly recognizable. He did that because of my sin. He did it because of your sin. Is it not just reasonable that I live my life holy and acceptable to Him? Isn't that the least that I could possibly do for my Savior? Think of the nails. You know, think of His back beaten, so beaten. And I don't think that cross that we maybe have pictured of at times, I picture a cross with bark on it. And there His raw back, all bloody and torn up. And there His back is against this raw wood. And I can't imagine the pain that that would be. Beloved, it is only a reasonable service. It's the least that we could do to serve Christ, that we would give our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. It's the least that we could do. This is why it's a reasonable service. You and I deserved what Jesus got and hell for eternity. But God's wrath was satisfied for Jesus' sacrifice if I live a holy life. Sorry. Fourth point. As in verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. Now he's telling us about how, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now he's telling us how we get to that point. Be not conformed to this world. And I know that we're talking about our mind, and that is primarily where I'm thinking of when I think of being conformed to this world in our thinking. The world will burn up. Why follow after the world? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Now, I know we heard a little bit about 1 Corinthians last week, about the building materials, and what we are to build with. But I'm going to start with verse 15 and read to the end. And then we'll make a few comments. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom in this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. You are Christ, and Christ is God. And so this morning, as we think of be not conformed, I think of the wisdom of this world. You know, the world has a wisdom that it has, but God says that it is foolishness. The Bible tells us it's foolishness. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So let's not run after the wisdom of this world. There's a different wisdom that God has. So what should the temple look like? We're not talking about form, but we're talking about holiness. Is Christ making a difference? Are we conformed? Are we conformed? Are we being transformed? Is God pleased with my life, with my actions, with my thoughts? And you put in whatever. Paul's burden is that Christ is formed in us, in our lives. That was his burden. And that's my burden this morning. But don't be conformed to this world. Like I said earlier, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Let's not run after the wisdom of this world. Are we intrigued by it? Is that exciting to us? God calls it foolishness. Let's turn to James 4 and read the first four verses there as well. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye can and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world, of the world, is enmity with God? Whoso therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And he's telling us in Romans here to not be conformed to this world. Here in James, he tells us that we're either God's friend or we're the world's friend. We cannot be serving two masters. We cannot be dabbling with things of the flesh and things of the spirit and think that I'm God's friend over here, but that don't work that way. We're either the friend of the world or then we're friend of God. Whose friend are we? What is going on in our minds? What are the things that we think about? We cannot serve two masters. Does my life reflect God or does my life reflect this world? Does the things that I think about move me to action? I do something with the things I think of. What am I doing? Where are my thoughts? Are they being transformed? So the last point, I'm going to turn back to Romans 12. And let's look at that. Our main phrase here is being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is the last point I have. It's the second key on how to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. The first key is to not be conformed to this world. The second one is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's something positive to do. How do we renew our minds? Taking our thoughts captive was one of the ways we talked about earlier. The thoughts that are worldly, carnal, evil, degrading, we need to get rid of them. But what do we think about? This is where we want to spend the rest of our time. God gives us some direction. Here he's telling us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we do that? Now in our own power, we will fail. And yet, it's not just something that God does. We need to put our effort into it. We need to retrain our minds. Philippians 4, here's some things that we can do in our mind. Philippians 4, we'll read verse 8 and 9. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what should we do? Think on these things." So here's a way of transforming our mind, renewing our mind. Paul gives us a very good recipe here of doing it. Verse 9 it says, "Those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me," in Paul, "do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So now he's given us a recipe. Now he's given us something that we should do. This will transform your mind. This will renew your mind. This will help our minds to not be conformed to this world. True. What are things that are true that we should think about? Anyone have any thoughts? What are things that are true that we should think about? He says, whatsoever things are true. Now, what are true things that we should think about that would be renewing our mind, that would be transforming our mind? What are some things that we could think about? Anyone? Word of God. Someone else? God Himself. I mean, you can't separate the two, but I had to think of even the lostness of my condition without Christ, and the full redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Them things are true. Them things will, if we get to grips how lost, how utterly lost that we are, and how full the redemption of Jesus Christ is, that'll do something for us. It'll bring a heart of thankfulness. It'll bring a heart that blesses God. It'll be a heart that worships, as we heard earlier. God's heart for His people, the church. These things are true. Now, how do I train my mind to think on these things? How do I do that? You know, our minds are used to racing here and there and everywhere else. Now, how do I train my mind to think on these things, as Paul taught us? And I'm not saying I have all the answers, okay? It's not an automatic thing. We'll have to put up some stop signs in our lives. For instance, do any of you ever feel sorry for yourself? I mean, I do. That's wrong, is it not? That's not a good thought to have. That's one that has to go, right? So what would happen in our minds if instead of feeling sorry for myself, I would think of what Jesus did for me? They said, now how do I do that? Well, what would happen if we would just take a few of them things and we would pray about, okay, God, every time that I feel sorry for myself, that you bring to mind of what you've done for me. Do you think God will answer that prayer? I am sure He will answer that prayer. And it might not get done the first day, but I think the end of a first week, you'd be amazed how much more you think of what God has done for you than feeling sorry for myself. But it takes prayer. We need to ask, we need to want it before we're going to get it. It has to be something that I want. So if I am feeling sorry for myself and I ask God to help me, that every time I and feeling sorry for myself that it would bring to mind how much he's done for me, that'll start transforming my mind. It'll start renewing my mind. Some of the old things that I think about, I will no longer have time to think about. More things to think about. He says, whatsoever things are honest, and honest here means honorable, grave. What are things that are honorable that we could think about? What are things that are honorable? I think we need to take some time and go through some of these. This isn't the only verse. I just chose this one. Take some time. What are things that are honorable, honest? What are some things that are honest that I should think about that will help transform my mind? And I'm not saying we have a bunch of people here that their minds are not being transformed, but I think that God wants to continue to transform it. I think God wants to continue to take us beyond what we are. I feel my need of Him. Just, I can't say the word. It's kind of like equality. Innocent, holy, right. Think on things that are pure. That is clean, modest, and perfect. Lovely. Things that are lovely. What are things that are lovely? I didn't write the definition down on this one. There's nature. There's nature. Beautiful things that God has created. Our children. The beautiful gift that God has given us. There's all kind of lovely things that we can take our mind to, rather than being conformed to this world. Let our mind be transformed to the glorious image of Christ. Virtue is excellent. Excellent. How is our thinking of our mind thinking again? How is our moral life? Is it excellent? Let's get to the place where we only think of excellent thoughts in that way. Praise, commendable. Think on these things. Train your mind to think on these things. That is God's heart. That we would think on these things. That our mind would continue to be renewed day by day. Transformed. That Christ's life would be... That my thoughts... As I think in my thoughts, so I become. So that as I become, so I would look more like Christ. That is our heart. Here's some things that have helped me. And think of things in your own life. We all have different experiences in life. How many of you, when you take a shower, you thank God for a shower? Well, when we were in Bolivia and you had to carry your water, and it was very limited, our water, or you had to go to town to get a shower. There's not very many times I get in the shower that I don't thank God for a shower. When we were in Indonesia, we had water, but we didn't have hot water. Have you ever thanked God for hot water? Train your mind to think on these things. Our minds are constantly going, you know. They're constantly doing something. Let's allow our mind to be transformed. You know, when we're thankful, we're praising Him, there's so much that happens in our minds. There's so much good that happens. Have you ever thanked the Lord that you can put your shoes on? You know, I grew up in a home where we put many shoes on. Don't take it for granted. Thank the Lord that you can do it. It might sound so simple, but it is so simple. It starts there. He doesn't want us to end there, but it starts in simple things. Choosing to think positive about my brothers and sisters, about people in general. Just having a heart that is full of praise. Let's think about these things. Being God-conscious, training our mind. I want to leave you with 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 19. And I won't make too many comments here. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. In verse 13 is where it got my attention. But we'll read it and then we might make just a few comments. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now think, if what would happen if I would think on these things? Just that verse that we read. That does so much for a person if we just think on it. Because as we think, so we become. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Who, having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister. Unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, and have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And here's the verse. As we think of all these things, how the prophets and how they desired to see this day, and we are living in this day. Wherefore, because of this, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope unto the end, for the grace that is now brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, passes the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, with your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And I just want to leave us with that, with them thoughts. You know, it says that the angels desired to look into this redemption. They desired to look into this. The prophets of old, they wanted to see this day. Now we have it. May we take our minds and think on these things. May we renew our minds by these words. May we renew our minds by thinking on these things. That Christ has redeemed us with his own blood. Isn't that amazing? If we think on those things, it will transform us. It will renew us. Christ will be seen flowing out of our lives. And that is my heart's desire here this morning. God help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So God bless you. My desire is that we would let our minds be transformed, or help them to be transformed into the image of Christ.